CBSI in the World. I'm John Batzel with my colleague Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. Judy is in Berlin. She's with the Carnegie Endowment of International Peace. And now we turn to a local election in Berlin. This is an election that is right now being understood as a measure of Olaf Scholz's chancellery. You remember that Olaf Scholz, head of the SPD, the Socialists, leads a coalition that includes many of his rival parties, the Greens, for example, or the Free Democrats. However, it does not include the Christian Democrats, who are understood in German terms as conservative. The vote in Berlin, however, has upset the apple cart. Not completely, but there are apples on the ground. So I go to Judy for an interpretation of this. Judy, reading in the German papers in translation, I read that this was a good day for the CDU, the Christian Democrats, who were pushed out of office when Olaf Scholz became chancellor, and a very bad day for the SPD. What's happened in Berlin? How do we understand the vote?
What's happened in Berlin is that the voters in Berlin are just fed up. They are fed up of how badly the city is run. They're fed up of the administration. They are fed up with the red tape. They are fed up of the rundown schools. They are fed up of the mediocrity. They are fed up of this social democrat green far left wing coalition, which really hasn't delivered on what the capital of Germany should be and how it should be run responsibly. By the way, this is a history of misgovernments ever since the wall came down in 1989.
And the parties are being held accountable for dissatisfaction. Now, I read about this dissatisfaction late. Apparently, there is much talk about troubles, violence that happened on New Year's Eve. There's also, as you say, the list of governors in Berlin. Is Berlin understood as representative of the whole country? Is this understood as a rebuke to the chancellery? Or is it about the mayor and the way the city has been run? I'm trying to separate these two issues.
Yes. Oh, this is a very good question. Well, in regional elections like these, all politics is local. Nevertheless, the result of these elections do have repercussions for the federal level and for the boss of the federal level, which is Chancellor Olaf Scholz. And his Social Democratic Party did miserably. They got 18% of the vote, whereas the Christian Democrats got 28% of the vote. The Greens did badly. Well, they were in coalition with the Social Democrats. They got 18%. And the Free Democrats, which are in Chancellor Olaf Scholz's coalition government on the federal level, they got kicked out of the Berlin local parliament completely. And the far left did okay. But guess what? Despite the fact that the Christian Democrats are the biggest party, really seriously the biggest and strongest party, we now still have a situation where the Social Democrats and the Greens and the far left, the Linke, want to continue and try to form a government, despite the voters' opposition to this kind of coalition that has run Berlin so badly over the years.
I understand that in parliamentary politics, a by-election or a regional election like this can be used rhetorically to indicate that there's change coming or change ahead. So I would like to speak a moment about Friedrich Merz, the national leader of the CDU. Does he beat the drum saying the times are a-changing? Is this a direct challenge between Merz and Scholz?
Merz has to rebuild the party. Remember, the party had been in power for such a long time under Angela Merkel from 2005 until 18 months ago. So Friedrich Merz now has to rebuild the party, bring young people, bring in more people, bring in more women, get the grassroots sort of modernized and be fresh face to the Christian conservatives in Germany. He wants to bide his time, and it's too early, and he's waiting to see how many more mistakes Scholz will make over Ukraine, over delivering weapons, over energy policy, over nuclear policy, over all sorts of issues. So he's got a bit of time in his hands, but he has smelt the change in the atmosphere, especially in Berlin, and he will surely capitalize on this because the CDU, Kai Wagner, did so well that this is a great fillip for the Conservatives and a real dusting down defeat for the Social Democrats and the Greens. On the local level, the Greens actually should be very disappointed, but then the Greens in Berlin are very different from the federal Greens.
I'm going to be cautious here because I'm aware that mirror imaging doesn't work. The word conservative and the word liberal means different things in our governances, Germany and the United States. But one analysis I've read is that the SPD and its coalition are supported by young people who are keen on climate change issues, whereas the CDU, and I propose its coalition would include the Free Democrats, they are keen on suburban issues, which is safety, taxes, services. Is that a rough way to divide to talk about Germany today? The green young and the conservative older homeowners.
I'm not so sure you can say that anymore. First of all, there's a consensus across the parties that climate change is here to stay, and combating climate change is top of the agenda. That's the first thing. Secondly, what your listener should know is that the Conservatives and the Greens actually are in power in two or three major states in Germany, and it functions very, very well. And so you have the pragmatic Greens working with the Conservatives, who have a center party element in them. I mean, it's not old-fashioned conservatism. Yes, they're for security, but a lot of parties are for security these days. They have different views of immigration. They would clash with the Greens on this. The Greens want a more liberal immigration policy. But generally, on the ground, the Conservatives and the Greens actually can work in a very pragmatic sort of way. And we've seen this in the very wealthy southern states, Baden-Württemberg, for instance, and other states where they work well. So there's no reason why this cannot be a kind of marriage, not a one of convenience, but a rather successful marriage, because what the Conservatives and Greens are doing is breaking out of the straitjackets that the Greens can only go into coalition with the Social Democrats and the left wing, and the Conservatives can only go into coalition with the right wing of the Social Democrats. That's been punctured now, which is not a bad thing.
Is Berlin an example of the whole country? Because it's Prussia, and I, because of my historical reading, associate Prussia with conservatism and institutionalism. Or is Berlin now a cosmopolitan city representative of all aspects of German life?
I wouldn't call it Prussian. That would be more Brandenburg and Potsdam. Berlin is sui generis. Apart from the fact that it was divided after 1961, and it was united after 1990. But what happened in between is that West Berlin, free West Berlin under the West, was pampered, was heavily subsidized. It was the showcase to the East. It got so much money, there was very little transparency, and actually it was quite corrupt. I mean, money was pumped into it. The East was run down. It was a showcase in its own way with high rise and everything, but it was communist. So the two of them it was a real ideological mismatch, overspending by the West and a very different element of running a kind of socialist economy in the East. And in the 1990s, when they were united, you had the old sentimental communists in the East still there in East Germany, in East Berlin, and the West Berliners trying to come to terms in setting up a clean administration and an efficient one which wasn't pampered. And they still haven't come to terms with the fact that they have to have an administration that works, that is accountable, and that is efficient. And that's taking a very long time to sink in because of the quality of the politicians.
Final couple of minutes. Balloon diplomacy is dominating the news in the United States these last days. There's still much to learn about the incidents themselves. Has this translated into criticism of Olaf Scholz for his trip to Beijing, or is that regarded as not something that needs to be explained? We have about a minute.
That's history. That's history. The German public has moved on. Scholz now is actually much more interested in dealing with the American delegation that arrives at the Munich Security Conference on Wednesday, on this coming Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And Scholz will have to give a major speech to convince his American allies that Germany is on board when it comes to supporting Ukraine completely and the transatlantic relationship in NATO.
So the balloon diplomacy is not going to be a question that's raised to him. Is that,
it'll be a question that will be raised around the private tables behind closed doors.
And Olaf Scholz, is he stronger perceived or weaker after this Berlin vote? Is it or yet to be determined?
He's considered to be, he was weak before the polls, and his reputation is going down, and his ability to lead is considered very weak. He doesn't come out of this very well at all, and in some ways he has become definitely weaker.
Frequent elections.
A lot can change, though.
Frequent elections, that's democracy. Judy Dempsey is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She's based in Berlin, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I recommend Strategic Europe. You just sign up and it'll come to your email. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.